In the Lab, a Texans podcast that takes a different look at things. Drew Doherty and John Harris have their lab coats and goggles on and the Bunsen burners burning. Here's Drew.
John Harris, it's great to see you, and I'm going to peacock a little bit. I'm pretty proud of, I've got some of the new swag at the H.
Nice.
This is underratedly.
Yeah.
The new, like the neon kind of looking bullhead. I think it's awesome. I love the new uniforms. I got to, as you did about a month ago, see them on players at night with like, all the, and it looked awesome then.
Yeah.
I was like, I wonder how it's going to train. I wonder if, surely I'm not the only one, but I wonder if there's going to be some backlash. And the pot shots have been very few and far between, which I love. Hit them out of the park, I think. I think these new uniforms are awesome. They're all different. The battle reds look so cool. I got a white Stroud and a home blue Anderson for my sons. They're going to
nice
size so they can switch through. Yeah, I'm pumped, man.
Yeah.
Well, you were at the party last night, too. What'd you think of everything? What have you thought about the release?
Yeah, I mean, you know, I've said this a million times, like, you know, kind of the pomp and circumstance that goes with uniforms and all that. Like, I had it, yeah, okay, great, whatever. Mm-hmm. I was just, you know, how do they look? Do I like the look? I like the look a lot. I love the H. There had been so much talk about the new H. And, of course, my name being Harris, I'm going to see how I incorporate that for me.
Sure.
But I loved the H when I first saw it. Like, that's awesome. I really like that. And I love that uniform. And when we spoke with the players, like you had them, I think on say like a Monday, we had them on a Tuesday.
Uh-huh.
So they were shooting all four uniforms. And I think they shot a couple of them one night and then a couple of them the next night. And the night that we were doing it was the night after you. They were wearing the Color Rush alternate with the H helmet. And so they had their helmet. So every time they'd come over, I mean, Jalen Petrie got on the air and we're like, Jalen, you can't say anything about the uniforms. He just launches right into, man, these are straight fire. Fans are going to love these. We love these. Every single player just absolutely loved those in particular. Not that the others, they didn't, but it was just those, like, wow. So, yeah, there were a couple of leaks, and there's never going to be 100% approval on anything, but it's come full circle because last year at this time, nothing that we were doing or could do, no, whether it was uniforms or otherwise, gained any sort of thumbs up. I mean, even making a deal for Will Anderson at some point, that was not even thought of as, oh, this is such a bad deal. They gave a pick next year.
I know you didn't think that way. I know. I didn't think that.
I didn't.
People in the building were pumped, but yes, you caught a lot of
nationally. Yeah.
You caught a lot of flack. Oh, you gave up too much for that guy. Well,
right. And I was tired of hearing that. I'm like, man, come on. And I was like, if you just looked ahead a little bit, and that this is going to be true. And I said this draft night, I said, you got to look ahead a little bit. First of all, it's not going to be a defensive player draft. There's no Will Anderson in next year's draft. Like, you don't need to do a ton of study to know that. You can just look ahead and go, man, there's no Will Anderson in this draft coming forward. Dallas Turner is not Will Anderson. You're not going to have
game
a Will Anderson
culture.
Yes.
Change. Yeah.
Right. And you're not going to have that. So go get that guy this year so he impacts 2023. You're not waiting for 2024. Mm-hmm. You're getting it in 2023, so it impacts that year. And then we'll see what happens in 2024. And lo and behold, what happens? There's not a defensive, just offensive player draft. I don't even know how many players offensively I've got on my Harris 100 and Harris 200 versus defense. It's just not a really top-notch defensive player draft. And it didn't take much to look forward, but because it was us making that deal at a time when, you know, we're 31st in the, you know, power rankings and we're just coming out of three really difficult years, we got no benefit of the doubt. Now, a year later, kind of get a little bit of benefit of the doubt. I thought about that at the party last night, looking around going, man, there are a lot of people at this party. I wonder, had we been 3-13-1 or 4-13, like we had been the previous couple of years, I don't think we would have had a party like that.
People would have, like, some people would have liked these uniforms, but you would have got a lot, you would have caught a lot of flack. Well, I'm going to have one more thing on the uniforms in just a second, but you just brought up something. The day after, so I think it was the Saturday of the draft, so 2 days after the Texans moved up to take Will Anderson,
right?
Someone very, very connected in this building said, hey, our coaches, they think with this trade and they think with what we've done in free agency. So coming into last year's draft, what they'd done in free agency, and what they had in the quarterback in C.J. Stroud, they thought the Texans draft pick was going to be lower and further down than the Browns pick, and that's why they traded that away. And I remember hearing that, and I was like, okay, cool. And it wasn't said with like a false bravado, because sometimes you hear that and it's like, all right, that's kind of like, thank you, but that's BS. That's not, I didn't get that vibe. And then seeing the mock drafts for 2024, the day after the draft, they all had the Texans picking first, but it going to the Cardinals.
Cardinals, yep.
Almost all of those mock drafts had 1-2 for the Cardinals, and they got that really, really wrong, yep. And I love it. I mean, they weren't even anywhere in the ocean. You know, they were on the beach. Really, they were on the marsh about 15 miles inland from the beach as far as getting close to
waving for help to come get them, and nobody was coming.
Binoculars, yeah. Yeah. I mean, I love what happened there. Okay, and then my last point about the uniforms. I think Clint Sterner brought this up. It's a great point. These color rushes are going to look super sweet with this color, the H-Town blue cleats, which I think they're going
to the guys were wearing their cleats and the gloves.
Equally cool with red cleats and red gloves. Mm-hmm. Equally cool if they just stay with this dark color. I mean, they're going to look so awesome that way. So
yeah, absolutely. And so I told Mark last night on radio. So when and you saw this, you walk into the 713 hall, whatever it was. Mm-hmm. And so we were in the far right corner, kind of away from everything. But as people walked in, they would look over. Oh, it's us. You know, they waved at us, take pictures, whatever. And so where you signed in, there was a big, gigantic, probably 8 to 10 foot tall H lit up, just gorgeous. And I pointed it at one point and I was like, Mark, we need to figure out what to do with that. And I was like, how about this? Primetime game at night, put that sucker in Bud Plaza and it will be like attracting, you know, moss to a flame. Mm-hmm. That will be awesome. If they would, I don't know what they're going to do with it. I don't know what.
And then with technology these days, you get the photo of that and superimpose it in front of the Houston skyline. Superimpose it in between the
wherever
dome.
You want it.
Yeah, you can do so many things with that. But yeah, I think it would look awesome and
look cool.
All right, let's talk football. Texans picking 42nd overall. I think they are. I think they'll maybe they can move back a little bit, move up. But they're in a sweet spot. They got 9 picks total. I wrote a little ditty this week. They have 7 picks next year. One in every round except for the 6th, and they've got 2 fifths. So 16 picks to deal with, plus the 7 and 26 that have not been touched yet. So 16 picks to deal with this year and next. That's a lot of ammo for Nick Caserio. He averages, through 3 years so far, 6 trades just during draft weekend alone. I kind of think he's going to be just under that. I think I could see like 4 or 5 trades. I don't think he's going to be as wild, but I've been wrong before. So we got to do a mock draft simulator. So what I'm going to do
is
hit the old share screen and we're going to pull up the mock draft simulator. So let's get it going. You see Houston there. We're in the 7th round. We've got it going fast speed.
Okay.
Of course, doing the Pro Football Network mock draft simulator. You enter the draft. Okay. We're going to make our team better, John.
Okay.
Houston Texans and their awesome uniforms. You see it clipping along. And
boom.
Here we go. Right off the bat, Tyler Newbin, TJ Tampa, Adisa Ibik, Max Melton, some of the big names. Also linebacker Edrin Cooper from Texas A&M. Those are some of the big names available. But we've got 2 trade offers. Green Bay wants to swap 42 for 58 and give us a second next year. That's it's enticing, but you got to move back 16 spots, which would also mean you're picking back-to-back 58, 59 if you do that. But what's the other one? Okay, move back 10, get a second for next year from the Rams, who are going to be without Donald, but looks like they got some help last year on that rookie class. But you also got to give up 1-2-7. Do you want to move?
Yeah, I don't want to move.
You want to move back?
I don't know. I like the Packers pick, but being at 58, 59, what I might do is get down to 58, take their second, and then move 59 a little bit and see what I could do there. What do you think? I don't think either one of them blows me away, trade offer wise.
Yeah, I know. And then looking at the board, in a few of these mock draft roundups, you've had TJ Tampa as the pick at 42. I know you like Max Melton.
Mm-hmm.
I'm pretty sure you like Newbin, but what do you think? Yep. I'm going to defer to you on this one, man. I think there's lots of options here.
And I mean, Newbin is my best available, I think, of that group. Like, mm-hmm. Newbin is the highest rated of that group that I see up there. Mm-hmm. There are a lot of names I like, but I think because there are a lot of names I like, there's going to be someone at 59 that I'm going to end up liking as well and that we're going to like. Newbin, you know, my conversation with Landry last week. I don't know, whatever the 17th was, last week, I think. And we talked about safety. And with safety, I think there are experienced players there. Every safety, top four safeties that are there have going into at least their third year. I mean, Jalen Petrie is going into his third year. It's just a matter of whether guys stay healthy. But it also you have to throw in Desmond King. And I throw in Desmond King because Desmond's the nickel. And Desmond's been healthy. And Desmond, I think, plays the nickel pretty well. But sometimes you can turn your nickel into maybe a three safety look. You can drop Jalen Petrie down. He plays pretty well when he's down by the line of scrimmage. You could let Jimmy Ward and Newbin play deep. You can be prepared for injuries because all four safeties had injuries. My point is, I'm talking myself into Newbin as safety because he's the best available.
Mm-hmm.
At maybe not a position of complete need, but I just think he's the best available. And getting him at 42, I think it would be a great situation. So let's do it.
Tyler Newbin. Newbin, you're a Houston Texan. So now we're clipping along to 59. You got names like Ruka Rororo, Cameron Kitchens is safety. We've already taken one. Oh, hey, we've got Braden Fisk. We've got Peyton Wilson, a linebacker from NC State, Chris Jenkins. But
let's look at the trades.
The Cardinals want 59 and 189 for 66 and a third next year. So you're going to move back seven. There's still a lot of good players that looks like you could still get there.
Yep.
Seven spots later.
True.
Want to move back one and pick up 163 from the Bills?
Because 163 is in the is that in the sixth or fifth?
It's around there.
I mean, it's around that spot because we go a long time because we have 123, 127, and we don't pick again until 188, 189. And so one spot to pick up 163. Let's do that. Let's do that trade right there with the Bills. I know it's one spot, but I like picking up that extra fifth or sixth, whatever that is. And we didn't lose much off the board. They took Jenkins, and that's fine because Fisk is still on the board. So to me, at pick 60, Fisk is the pick. I think I have him rated above Aurora. There's no other DT. Let's do Fisk right there at 60. I think that's a great spot. And we picked up an additional pick in the process.
All right. So now you've bolstered your interior D-line a little bit. You got the back end with the safety. You're now picking at 86, but San Francisco's wanting 189 to move back to 94, but they'll give you 132, which would kind of move you up some. I like what I'm seeing there. What else we have? Oh, the Titans. Okay.
Oh boy. No.
Hey, yeah, we want 180 or we want 86 and we'll give you a second next year and two this year. I don't know about that, man. I kind of like
the reason. Let's go back to the other trade. First of all, I'm not dealing with the Titans. They can, kick rocks. This one's intriguing, but here's what I'm looking at here. We have picks 123, 127, and 163, and then 188, 189. I feel like we've got enough picks there. And there are guys on the board. There's one in particular I'm looking at that I really, really like. And so I'm going to skew these trade offers if you're cool with that, because there's a guy that I like in this, and I'm looking right at him, number three on the board right there. I can't remember.
Andrew Phillips?
See the number. Andrew Phillips. Let's take that out. Let's reject those trades.
Okay. You want to take the
Let's take Andrew Phillips right there, 86. That's a great spot for him.
In the past,
I really like him.
You've taken Renardo Green, who's down at 90, so you like Phillips a little bit more from Kentucky?
Yeah, I have Phillips rated a little bit higher than Renardo Green. Phillips, I don't think, has been on the board at that point that I can think of, but I like Phillips. So let's do that. Let's move on to the fourth round. Day three, baby. Here we go.
Oof, okay.
Oh, wow.
A lot of flotsam and jetsam offered from the Patriots. I don't want all that. Do you? It's
1.78 and 2.31. Let's reject that.
You got a running back in Braylon Allen from Wisconsin available. Okay. The name that's kind of jumping out to me is the tight end. They're from TCU, Jared Wiley.
Yeah, Jared Wiley.
But you also got some other names, Mekhi Wingo, Jalen Wright, who we've picked, but we're picking again at 127 here in a moment.
Right. I should say correct. Correct is what I meant to say.
Right,
because
right.
I agree with you. I know exactly what you're thinking. I think there's, I mean, we're not picking that far down. So I feel like we can get two of the top seven here.
Mm-hmm.
Brandon, got to look at, I know you and I have talked to him. It's funny. I went back and I just have been kind of conflicted on him the whole time. And I read yesterday.
You missed out on that. You popped out.
Brandon Coleman, the guard from TCU.
Oh, okay.
And I know offensive line is not something people want to get sexy with. And it's,
and
you know,
you
it's not
always,
fun. But
if you got a good offensive lineman, take him. You
that's
can always
exactly right.
Put that to use. But I like Jared Wiley.
I like Wiley. I would take Wiley over Coleman. So let's do that. Let's take Wiley, see what happens over these next three picks, and maybe we can get Wright or Coleman. And
right,
both of them are still on the board. So now the question becomes, you know, we talked about running back a lot.
Mm-hmm.
Home run hitter, Jalen Wright. Big time home run hitter. I have him rated a lot higher than Brandon Coleman, so that would be my call. And then I'll look a little bit later for guard.
I like that, what you're saying. And I also remember, okay, you had Jarrett Patterson play admirably, I think, start the first 6-7 games of the season at center. You had Juice Scruggs coming in at the end of the season. It was almost like a handoff, playing admirably,
yeah, right,
starting the end of the season at guard.
Correct.
You also have Kenyon Green, a first-round pick. Started 15, 14 games 2 years ago as a rookie. He's coming back from injury. You've got lots of guys competing there. I know it's always good to up the competition level, but I kind of like the situation there. Whereas I'd like to up the competition level there in the running back. Let's go Jalen Wright, man.
I'm right. Before you bang it.
Or
I just happened to see the name of Ray Davis. Now I have Wright ahead of Ray Davis.
Okay.
But I can see why Ray Davis might fit us a little bit better. Just a shiftier runner, not as fast, but really, really good in a passing game. My comp for him was Frank Gore. Just when you see him, you'll understand. He's a heck of a story. So do we want, I'll leave this up to you, Drew, home run hitter, track speed, Jalen Wright, good size, or do you want Ray Davis, who can really do it all with a tremendous story overcoming adversity?
I like home runs.
Okay, let's go home runs. Jalen Wright, let's go.
Sammy Sosa versus Mark McGwire.
Let's do it. Jalen Wright. There we go.
Okay. So to recap, we're clipping along here. We've taken a safety, a defensive tackle, a corner, tight end, and a running back. We still have, John, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 picks remaining. 163 is next.
Yep.
And up on the board, first of all, is another tight end. And Theo Johnson sounds like a nice player. You got Tyler Davis, the defensive tackle from Clemson. Tyke Smith is a safety. Is it Keaton Oladapo?
Yeah, Keaton Oladapo.
I don't know. Ooh, and then, peeking down there at the bottom, we got Gabe Hall.
That's,
I know you're kind of a fan of. What do you think?
Yeah, if I were able to get him at 163, I'd feel really good. I like Gabe Hall a whole lot more than PFN does. I think Gabe Hall, 6'6",
291.
Long.
Good
tester. Really good athlete. I think in the run game, he's different. He made a lot of plays from the backside of plays because he's so quick and agile. I think Gabe Hall, because we got Fisk and Hall, and they're different. One 6'3", 292. The other one 6'6", 290. They're different. And so I think you could play them together at some point. If you played them together, you could play them in combination with the guys you already had. I would really like Gabe Hall. Now, I would tell you Keith Randolph, and Randolph is rated ahead of Gabe Hall here. Randolph is a little bit more kind of true defensive tackle, but I think Gabe Hall is a better prospect right now and in the future, just length, size, everything. I think Gabe Hall would be the pick if I'm going DT.
And kind of for this defense in particular too, right?
Yeah, absolutely. Now, one thing I want you to do, Drew, if you can. Oh, you did it. All right, good.
What were you going to say? Sorry.
No, I was wanting you to look at the Blake Watson went. I want you to click offense and click the wide receivers. We got to look at wide receivers and what's left on the board here at wide receiver, because I do think that we've got to attack this position in some way, shape, or form. And that's the name right there.
229. I don't think he's going to last that long in the real thing.
Those top 1, 2, 3, 4, those top, I mean, all of them that you see there, Jackson, John, all the way down to Lulu Griffin, down at the bottom. And in fact, the guy that I might want is the one that's below Lulu Griffin. Anthony Gould is Tank Dell reincarnate.
Really?
But the reason that I think that Anais Williams, Anthony, I mean, he's not big, but man, I'm telling you, he caught a tunnel screen against, I think it was Fresno State. And I'm telling you, dude, he hit the boosters and goodbye. I'm like, wow, he had a really good East-West game. I think he's being slept on here by PFM by a long shot. He's got exceptional electricity. But all these guys, any of these guys, Jaquan Jackson is a slot who was really good at the Senior Bowl. Cornelius Johnson's a big wide receiver, can play on the outside. He's Nico's teammate at Michigan. Jordan Whittington and Anaya Smith. Now, Whittington is a little bit bigger, probably not as explosive as Anais, but he kind of gives you everything. He played running back. He played wide receiver. Flournoy was incredible at the Senior Bowl. He was really, really good. High cut, big butt, kind of skinny legs, and can run and make plays. If I'm letting my Texas heart, you know, it's Whittington or Smith, also because they can give you some stuff out of the backfield as well. Mm. And I kind of like that. Even though I've added Jalen Wright, who I know get the ball in the backfield in different ways, Whittington or Smith, I'll flip the coin and let you go one of those two ways. Your thoughts about what you would do with receiver here.
Okay, we're going back to back, 188-189.
Okay.
I want Smith, but let's look back at what we have.
Let's look back at what we have here.
Available. Randolph, MJ Devonshire, another corner. So we've taken a D-tack, we've taken a corner, we've taken a tight end. We haven't taken a linebacker yet. Do you like Tommy
Eichenberg? I do like Tommy Eichenberg. Tough son of a buck. Really tough. I like him a little bit better than 178. So I'd be okay with that. In fact, we got the next two picks. I wouldn't mind banging Eichenberg and then Anais.
All right. So we got Eichenberg. And then I'm going to go back. I'm going to take Anais Smith. I'm excited about this.
Yep, okay. Do it.
Now we're moving into the seventh round. So now when you're in the seventh round, okay, you're just kind of looking for somebody that can make the team, really. And how are they going to do that? So what do we got available in general? With everyone, you got A.J. Barner, a Michigan tight end, Logan Lee, a defensive tackle from Iowa. Mark Perry is somebody as a safety. He's super fast. He's tested well, right? Do you like Drake
Tested
Newton?
Very well. He's an athlete. And Mark Perry played at Rancho Cucamonga High School. So he is the teammate There's of one
CJ
Coleridge Stroud.
Let's do
so,
that.
Yes, he's teammate. Yeah, Mark Perry or Dominique Hampton, I think, if I'm looking at safety at this point, because we've already taken Newbin at the top. But I think Perry, really good athletic profile. You could even have gone there with Dominique Hampton, who the Packers took at 245 there. So last pick, here we go.
Okay, we've not taken an O-lineman.
Okay, I got one for you. I got a few. Let's do this. Let's go to
Drake Nugent.
Okay. Center. A little shorter, stout, strong, transfer from Stanford, did really well with Michigan.
Got Nathan.
But I don't know if that's the way I want to go. Now, that one right at the top right there, 241.
Yeah, you like him? Nathan Thomas out of Louisiana.
Nearly 34-inch arms. When I first saw him, I just went, damn. Like, he just looks different, but he's a guard, which I'm okay with. Okay. I'm okay with him being a guard.
All right.
If you go down, go back up on that list right there. What are you on?
On tackles?
No, go to guard. Go to guard.
Guard. We got Prince Pines is at the top from Tulane. Kyle
Wait, go Hurst. To center for a second. I saw a name I was thinking
center,
of.
We got Nugent.
Egg right Walton, there.
Kingsley.
Nick Gargiulo, transfer from Yale.
Ah.
And played South Carolina, more than held his own. I mean, I was at 247, a guy with some center guard possibilities. You got with Dieter Eisland, who played at Yale. Gargiulo graduated. And we've seen this a lot with Ivy League players. They play their 4 years, they get their Ivy League degree. And the reason, and then they get their 4 years, but because of the whole COVID thing, once they graduate and they've got one more year to play, a lot of Ivy Leaguers are now transferring to different schools. So that with Jalix Hunt, he transferred to Houston Christian. He's going to go probably day two of this draft. Nick was the same thing. So he would be definitely a guy I would think about. CJ Hansen from Holy Cross is a center, kind of center guard. So he would be a decent option. All right, let's do it. Let's put Ivy League in there. Now it says center, but he could play guard. He played guard at South Carolina, so he can do both.
No offense to Holy Cross. I mean, I love Gordy Lockbaum in the 80s, but Gargiulo, he's, like you said, he played in the SEC a bit, and he's wicked smart. He was at Yale. So
that is wicked smart.
We'll go with Gargiulo, and that'll close out our draft. So look at what we took. We took, John, we took 10 players. You see us taking 10 players in real life?
I don't, but I like the way we managed the board. We moved one pick Here's what we did with pick 59. We got Fisk and Gabe Hall.
Mm-hmm.
That's a good way to live right there, I think. Mm-hmm. Doing things like that. And look, I don't know that 10 picks are really going to be kind of the way to go here, Drew. I just didn't like any of the trade offers we got, to be honest. But I feel like the little ones we took, and I think that's something that Nick has done. He's taken little moves, and then, you know, he's like moved down five picks, but he's picked up someone in the fifth, and he uses that and moves up higher with that. So I like the way that Nick uses those picks to package them together to move up to get maybe a higher quality player. But mm-hmm. to get Fisk and Gabe Hall with pick 59, just moving down one spot, I mean, that's money. This draft is the best one we have done. This is the best by far. So hopefully it pans out this way.
I love it. I love doing these. I like doing them with you. It's fun to collaborate and chit chat about it. And we are here, man. You're going to be all over everything that these 3 days. So Thursday night, the draft begins. Texans don't have a pick. Probably not going to move up, but you're still going to be covering it with Mark and everybody. Then Friday night, you'll be on air the whole way through. Saturday
draft party,
more of the same. It's going to be awesome, man. I can't wait. Texans are going to restock, or I guess not restock, but add to the stock and really up the talent. And I think this is another year to really make some big, big changes and additions to your team that can help down the line. I'm pumped, man. I'm really pumped.
Yeah, it's you know how I feel about the draft. I just have always loved it for some particular reason. I don't know if it's the surprise of hearing picks. I don't really were kind of the draft
the hope for me,
but I love it. I love it. And this team is at a point now where, you know, we talked about needs and where they need things. And it's like, you know, really, if they had to play a game today, I think they would be able to go out there with what's on the roster. So what is added on starting on Friday, as of now, it could turn to Thursday. We'll see. But the way that Nick maneuvers, you never know. But I just know that the players they're going to pick are going to end up making an impact. They don't have to come right in and start. And I think that's important. They don't have to come in and start. But if they do, wow. I mean, that's huge. And they don't have to start week one, but they might be week nine starters, week 10 mm-hmm. starters. They might be week 10 where they're making a significant impact. I mean, Khalil Davis was not a drafted pick, but I think about him a lot. Important he was inactive for the first week. Week two, he started getting in there a little bit. Week three, and all of a sudden, he just little by little by little by little, by the end of the year, he was a valued member of that offensive line rotation or defensive line rotation next to Kurt Heinisch. So you just never know where you're going to find that guy. And when I look at the defensive line, I see what we did in the draft, getting Gabe Hall and Braden Fisk for pick 59. We got both of them. But I'll take that all day. I'll take it all day, every day. So I'm looking forward to it. Presents even more hope, and I'm looking forward to it.
In lots of these mocks, I've been able to get Fisk into Vondre Sweat.
Yeah.
Like you move and you maneuver and you get about four in the first 100 and you use that last one. It's typically around 94. I've been like, let's just double down and
Sweat's been falling. That DWI is not helping him at all.
Is he though? Do we know that he's for sure falling?
Well, when I say falling,
I know what you mean.
When I say falling,
and I'm saying that
the people that do this,
I know
you have anticipated him not being a day two pick or a late, late, late day two pick.
I still think he's there.
Here's the thing. Here's the thing with Sweat.
He's too different. He's so much of an outlier, you know?
Here's the thing with Sweat. And you know as well as I do, we've seen a lot of dudes come into this building and we've seen a lot of dudes come in there with some demons. We've seen some guys come in there that were absolutely pristine prospects. Some of the guys with demons turned their stuff around. Some guys came in there that were absolutely pristine prospects, didn't have a mark on their name, ended up being total buttheads.
Never heard of them. Yeah.
Yeah. You kind of never know. But if you believe in your locker room, you believe in what you've built, you believe in the veterans that are there, you believe in the core that you drafted last year, that they're going to be the ones to take over, that they'll keep somebody in line. I just worry about, and it's funny, Juice Scruggs is, I don't think, ever going to be an issue. But I saw Juice in the cafeteria, and I just asked him how his offseason was, and his eyes opened up, and he looked at me and went, oh, my God, I have so much time. And that worries me with somebody that's had issues like Sweat before. You've got all the time, and now you've got the money. Whoa, what do you do? And so if you get him in the fourth round, I'd do it. I mean, 86, I would have to think long and hard. I just don't know ultimately if it's those issues. I feel like the Texans, look at the, you know, a player like that and think, hey, we'll be fine. We can surround him with every piece of support possible.
Right.
But I just don't know that that's the type of player that D'Amico wants. Hmm. I don't know. So find out. We'll find out if he wears that H or not, man. It would be a, that H is going to get stretched a little bit with that 366 pounds, bro.
He'll still wear it well. I think I'm wearing it well. I think he would wear it well.
You're wearing it very, very well.
Hey, man, I can't wait. It's going to be fun. I'll be checking you out. And I know I will be texting you quite a bit and bugging you, but that's what I do.
So, of course.
Yeah.
Of course.
Always good to be with you, my friend. Hey, we appreciate you checking us out here on YouTube, listening to us on Spotify, iTunes, wherever you're listening to a podcast. The three of us, you, me, and John, we had fun. Thank you.